Well, as we've been working our way through the Sermon on the Mount, it's good to be reminded that this teaching, this quote sermon by Jesus, was really foundational to the disciples. This is discipleship 101. And while I'm sure that some things, when it first hit their ears, shocked them, things like, you know, gouging out your eye and cutting off your hand, things like that may have, shocked them. Much of these teachings were so foundational to their lives as they would go out and spread the gospel, as they would advance the kingdom of God. I'm sure that time and time again, they came back to these foundational truths that Jesus taught them here on this Sermon on the Mount. And one of the foundational truths that Jesus taught his disciples was about the importance of prayer, of true prayer. We saw that back in chapter 6 when Jesus taught his disciples that famous Lord's Prayer and how they should not pray like the religious leaders of the day who simply did it for show. Today we're going to find some more verses that talk about the importance of prayer in the life of the disciples. So if you have your Bible, we'll be in Matthew chapter 7, looking at verses 7 through 11. And here we find Jesus saying, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Well, if you happen to read some commentaries on this particular passage, you'll find that some guys really focus on the order, the ask and seek and knock, and think that there's some kind of special meaning behind the order of those phrases. But I love what Matthew Henry says. He says this, that Jesus is simply saying, pray, pray, and pray again by ask and seek and knock. Jesus is stressing the importance of prayer, of really persistent prayer, by these three analogies or illustrations that he gives here to his disciples. And so in light of the topic being prayer today, I want to just glean three things from this passage as we work through this. Number one is prayer is an action word. It's something we do. Number two is prayer is answered. We see that in this passage. And number three is that prayer is relational, or prayer is personal. Number one, prayer is an action. And I would add persistent action. Again, we see that in verse 7 when Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you." Those are all action words. Those are all things that people do. And just stop and think about each one for a moment. To ask, if I want to find out something from you, or maybe ask a favor of you, "Louise, would you please wash my car later today?" If I need to open my mouth, I need to speak that to her. It's something I have to do. I have to put forth effort to ask. And so Jesus here is pointing this out, that we need to open our mouth and ask. And as we think back to the Lord's Prayer, right before that, when Jesus said this, again, "Do not be like the hypocrites," he says this, "For your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And so as we think about that, we might be tempted to think, well, why bother even asking? Because God already knows what I'm going to say anyway. But here we see Jesus stress the importance of actually asking. Now, yes, he knows our thoughts. We can ask silently. But I believe there's something precious about being in our prayer closet and actually talking out loud, speaking to God with our mouth, making that effort of asking God. It's important that we do that. Number two, we see that Jesus says that we also need to seek. Do we have any hide-and-seek fans out there? I know some of you, and I was going to pick on some of the youth group kids, but sardines is a favorite of the youth group kids. And if you've never played sardines, it's a variation of hide-and-seek. It's kind of in reverse, backwards hide-and-seek. But obviously, if you played hide-and-seek before, you know that in order to find someone, you have to move your feet, right? You have to go and search for them and find out where they're hiding. Any of you here ever lose your keys before? Anybody famous for losing their keys? Yeah. Well, let me give you a little free advice. When you walk in the door, just always put your keys in the same spot, and you'll be able to find them, hopefully, if you remember to put them there. It's a great little trick you can try at home, and maybe you won't have to lose your keys. But if you lost your keys, what do? You don't sit on your couch and say, "Keys! Here, keys, keys, keys. Where are you?" No, you have to go. You have to put forth some effort. You have to look for them. You have to search for them. And again, Jesus here is implying the effort that's involved in our prayer lives. And number three is knock. If I were to stand out your door, outside of your front door today of your home, and I would just stand there with my hands in my pocket, well, how long would it be before you knew I was there? Well, if you have one of those Ring doorbells, right? Nowadays, they have those Ring doorbells. So you'd probably see me coming on your phone or something and give it away. But years ago, before there were doorbells and ring things, I would actually have to knock on the door to get your attention, right? I would have to knock to make contact with you so that you know that I'm here. Obviously, God already knows that we're there, but He wants us to knock. He wants us to pursue Him, to ask and to seek and to knock. This is His will for our lives. And this is the point that Jesus is making. If we want to receive something from God, if we want to, quote, find Him, if we want to make contact with Him, it's going to take effort on our part. And again, let me add, persistent effort. Jesus teaches that in that parable of the persistent widow, right, in Luke 18, where He says, don't give up. You just keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. This is the attitude that we're to have as we pray. Now, certainly there are times when God does things in our lives without our asking, right? How many times does God just do things on His own sovereign will? He does that, certainly. But for the most part, God wants us to see us as active participants in prayer and seeking Him and asking of Him, to knock and to seek as well. Well, the second thing we glean from this passage is that prayer is answered. We see in all three of these illustrations what happens. Jesus says in verse 8, "For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." Now, it's important that we don't take this verse to the extreme, which some like to do, and kind of think that God is some kind of cosmic vending machine, or He's this genie in a bottle that will grant all our requests. I mean, that's what it says, right? You just ask, He's going to give it to you. That kind of mentality. Or they'll take a verse out of John and say, all you got to do is pray in Jesus' name and it's guaranteed to be yours, right? As if just saying the name of Jesus is similar to what a magician does when he says abracadabra, right? It's going to happen. And so it's important that we look at this verse, as we've seen over the past couple weeks, in light of all of Scripture, right? Just like when it comes to do not judge and not casting our pearls before swine, we're to look at those statements in light of all that Scripture says about making judgments. So too, when it comes to prayer, about asking and seeking and knocking, we're to look at all of Scripture and what it has to say about this topic of prayer. And what we find is so many verses also talk about this, that when we pray, we're praying under the sovereign, the umbrella of the sovereign will of God when we pray. That we're to pray in accordance with the will of God. And Jesus taught that in the Lord's Prayer, didn't He? When He said, "What, your kingdom come, what, your will be done." We see this lived out in Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. When He said, "What, O Father, not my will, but your will be done." He was submissive to the sovereign will of His Father, even though He had a desire that the cup would pass from Him. We see the Apostle John say this in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. He says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him." Again, God hears. God is ready and able to answer our request. We see that word "whatever," Isn't that great? Hey, whatever your request is, it could be so what we might think is insignificant and small to God, but he says you ask it. Whatever you want to ask, you just ask. But know this, God always has the right to veto our request. God always has the right to say no to our request. Let me ask you this. Aren't you glad that God hasn't said yes to every single one of your requests that you've ever made? Aren't you glad as you think back maybe to some of the requests you've had and you're thinking, man, God, you should do this. You should do this for me, or you should work this situation out. That God, you need to do it this way. And then say 5 years go by, 10 years go by, and you look back and you say, knowing what I know now, if I knew then, I don't think I would have asked that of God, right? God knows much better than we do. He has much superior wisdom than we do. And so we always ask according to his sovereign will. So yes, we ask, we seek, we knock. But again, we also rely on the infinite wisdom of God, knowing that he will answer in his time, in his way, and according to his sovereign will, which is always, as Romans 8:28 says, always for his glory and for our good. Which leads us to number three, which is that prayer is relational. It's this personal thing we do with God the Father. We see that Jesus gives the example of human fathers in verses 9 and 10 when he says, speaking to his disciples, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Or if your son asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? And these analogies, the picture that Jesus paints is of a child that seems to be hungry. What is he asking for? Some fish and some bread. These were staples of the day in that day. He's not asking for a Nintendo Switch or something like that. He's asking for just his basic needs for the day. He's hungry. And if you're a good father, you're going to feed your hungry child. Jesus says, what father, you know, in their right mind, right, would not do that for their child? You've got to be out of your mind to give your child a stone or a snake when they're hungry. That's just absolutely foolish to do that. And so Jesus says, hey, disciples, hey, guys, you know what? You're evil. You're not righteous. You've got corrupt, sinful natures, sinful hearts. And yet even you as evil men, you know how to do what's right, what's good for your child when they have a true, genuine need. Well, how much more so will the perfect Father in heaven, the one who's absolutely righteous, the one who is in no corruption at all in him at all, no darkness at all in him, how much better does he know what to give us as his children, as his followers, as his disciples? He knows how to give us what is truly good. And by, quote, good, I mean this. Exactly what is good for you according to the sovereign will of God and to his great wisdom. Many get all excited when they read verse 11, which says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And they love that phrase, good gifts. And they're thinking dollar signs. They're thinking wealth, riches. They're thinking stuff. God's going to give me stuff. But if we go back to the analogy of the human father, how many of you human fathers know that it's not always wise to give everything to your child that they ask for? Right? Many times you have to say no, or else your shopping cart would be full, right, as you go through the store. If you said yes every time, you have wisdom to know when to say no. And so too with the good gifts. You see, the good things or good gifts that Jesus is actually referring to here is God himself. Not that I'm saying that God is a thing, but there are, quote, things that God pours into our lives when we ask him and when we seek him And when we knock at his door, there's fellowship that we have with God. Now, I know in Revelation 3:20, it's Jesus, right? Jesus knocking at the door, says, come in, open the door, and I'll dine with you in fellowship. But hey, we can also knock on his door, right? And we can have fellowship with him in that sense. It's God that's in view here. As we seek, as we ask, as we knock, it's our communion with God that's in view. Well, let's look at what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah 29:12-13 says this. It says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. What's the good thing there? The good thing is God. And when we find God, when we search after God, and when we truly find him, we find that he pours things into our lives, good things. Number one, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. And that Holy Spirit produces more good stuff or good things like love and joy and peace and so on. Jesus also says this on another occasion, very similar to what we read here in Matthew 7, but in Luke 11, verse 13, there's a great distinction that's made, and let's look at that. Jesus says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? As humans, it's so easy for us to focus on the material things in life, those earthly blessings. How often do we find ourselves singing like Janis Joplin, right? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz, right? We're so often, you know, we want the new car, or we want the new house, or the new job, or the new spouse, whatever it might be. But we're always looking for these material things. And God says, you got it all wrong. Your focus is in the wrong place. Because what you need to satisfy you, to bring you joy and peace, it's not in a person, place, or thing. But God says, it's in me. I'm the one who can satisfy you. I'm that good thing, quote, thing that you need. So ask and seek and knock. As you read the words of Jesus, so often when he's communicating to his disciples about things like peace and joy in their lives, he says it this way, basically, hey, I am your peace. If you want peace, you can find it in me. Hey, I am your joy. You want joy? You find it in me. I'd encourage you at some point today or this week, if you want to dig further, do some homework, read the Gospel of John. Read John chapter 14 through 16. Because that passage, those three chapters, talk so much about the Holy Spirit and how God had promised the Holy Spirit for his disciples and the benefits of the Holy Spirit. But you also find a lot of this asking that's going on in those three chapters. And what often happens is we kind of cherry pick those verses out of context and think the asking is all in this material sense. But really, it's about the spiritual sense of more of God in my life. So I just want to do something real quick with you here. I'm not going to read all three chapters, but I do want to take a snippet from each chapter, a couple verses from each chapter, and see if you can notice the importance of asking and prayer and what we receive in these kinds of asking here. The first one is in John 14, verses 25 through 27. And the context is Jesus had just said this, that God the Father and Jesus the Son, if you're a disciple, he's going to make his home in you. What a great thought. But then he adds this about the Holy Spirit. Verse 25 says, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. God says, hey, the good gift I'm giving you is peace, my peace. You don't have peace? Well, then ask for it. Seek it. Knock for it. And I'll give it to you. Let's look at the next one. Chapter 15, very familiar passage in John 15, 9 through 11. Jesus says this, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. What's the good gift there? It's the joy of God. Are you lacking the joy of God in your life? Are you trying to find happiness outside of Christ, outside of God? Well, then start asking God for joy. Start seeking the joy of God. Start knocking on the door of God's heart and say, Lord, I need your joy, and he will give it to you. And thirdly, in chapter 16, Jesus here is foretelling the crucifixion and the resurrection. He's going away to die, to be buried, but then to rise again. And so they'll see him again. And he says this in John 16, 22 through 24. He says, so with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. I think of what Galatians 5 says when Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And he says what the fruit of the Spirit is: love, joy, peace, and so on. The bottom line is that prayer is relational, it's personal, it's you and God one-on-one. And as believers in Christ, as believers in Jesus, who have been adopted into the family of God, we need to continually remind ourselves of this awesome truth that God, you are my heavenly Father. You're my Abba, as Paul likes to say. As Jesus himself said in the Garden of Gethsemane, Daddy, Abba, Father. God, I'm crying out to you because you have ultimate wisdom. And Lord, I need you. Lord, I ultimately need more of you in my life. I need to surrender to more of your will. I need more joy. I need more peace. I need more of your love. So I'm asking, I'm seeking, I'm knocking. Because God will do that. He will give that to you. A few questions as we wrap things up today. Number one, do you want to be under the influence of God? Do you truly want to be under the influence of God? Under the reign and rule of God in your life? Or do you want to have the final say? Do you want to be the one to call the shots? Number two, do you want your life to be controlled by God? Really to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control, and that's simply spirit control. Where God, you control my thought life. God, you control my words. You control my hands, my actions, what I do. It's driven by you, God. Do you want your life to be controlled by God? And finally, do you want God to act more like a genie in a bottle or like a loving father who knows when to say yes, when to say wait, and when to say no? What do you want? As we close today, it's important to point out that not everyone can call God their heavenly Father. Now, anyone can mouth those words, but not everyone has a genuine relationship with God in that sense as their Father. Jesus would tell a bunch of Jewish people that their father was the devil. They thought they were in simply because they were Jewish descendants. They had Jewish descendants. They were a son of Abraham or a daughter of Abraham. So they said, "I'm in." And Jesus said, "No, you're not in. Actually, your father is the devil," is what he told them. Let me ask you, what are you searching for in life? What are you searching for? Inner peace? True happiness? Satisfaction? What you'll find is that everything outside of Christ will ultimately be a dead end. It may provide some temporary peace, some temporary laughs and happiness, but it will fade. It will fade away. But one thing will remain, and that is peace and joy of Christ if you turn your life over to Him. And that is why Jesus speaks of this lasting joy. He says to His disciples, "Hey, once you see me again, after I've been crucified, buried, risen again, when you see me alive, your joy is going to be complete. No one can take away that joy. Why? Because you know who I am. I'm the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior. I paid the price for your sins. And if you haven't come to that place of surrender to Christ today, then all the stuff of this world is going to leave you empty. It's going to lead you down a dead-end path. But there's a path that leads to life, and it's the path of Christ. And I encourage you, if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, then turn to Him today. Believe that He died for you. He paid the price for your sins so you could be forgiven and grant you everlasting life. And if you do that, you will experience the joy and the peace of God, a joy and peace that you've never experienced from anything in this life or on this earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your word today. We thank You for the reminder of the importance of prayer in our lives. And Father, I know I'm so guilty of not opening my mouth and actually conversing with You on a daily basis. I may just think thoughts in my head or maybe even go the day without even seeking You and talking to You, Father. Lord, help us to be people of prayer, people who simply want more of You in our lives, who want You to control our lives, every single area. That, Lord, we say, "Lord, don't leave any stone unturned in my life. Flip it all over for Your glory." Lord, help us to have that heart. And God, we thank You that You promise to be with us forever, that You'll always be our Heavenly Father. We can always lean upon You. Lord, I pray that we would continue to remind ourselves of how open and free and graceful You are to us, Lord. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.